ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। So we are on this beautiful chapter, Vibhuti Yoga, where Bhagwan is telling his vibhutis, his glories. And the purpose of him telling us those glories are for those who are not as subtle-minded to understand the essence. The sutra, in the Sutra Manigana Iva, which he said in chapter 7, the sutra, the thread is not seen. Most of us have our attention on the beads or the gems or the pearls. So Bhagwan says, doesn't matter, even if your attention is on the beads, from the bead, you come to me. Because the reason is that whatever that has come into this universe, the gross as well as the subtle, because that's why he has explained, you know, shamma, dhamma, these are subtle emotions, qualities. All of that has come from me. So no matter which object you take up for inquiry, you must reach me. And that is the whole idea and the crux of this entire chapter, where he has given 73 vibhutis only. That doesn't mean there are only 73. Every other object, thought, emotion is his vibhuti as well. In that, with that, we are on verse 26. We completed 25 chapters, and I want to thank all of you for agreeing to come a half an hour early to start the class. So we'll try and see if we can finish it in 1 hour. If not, 1.5 hours should, I think, be enough. Ashvatha sarva vrikshanam devarshinam cha naradah gandharvanam chitra ratah siddhanam kapilo munihi. Among all trees, I am the people tree. Among divine rishis, Narada. Among gandharvas, Chitraratha. Among the perfected ones, the muni Kapila. This people tree or fig tree, religious figurosa is the botanical name. Anyway, the peculiarity of this tree is that, you know, there are the figs, and inside the figs, there are a lot of small seeds. I mean, we get figs in the store, right? So I'm sure all of you have seen them. Now, the peculiarity of that seed is that if you just take the seed from the fruit and plant it, it will not sprout into the people tree, which normally should happen. So what happens is that fig, the fruit, is eaten by the birds, and the seeds go through the GI tract, the intestine of the bird, and come out as fecus. Then that seed, when it is planted, it will give rise to the tree. That is the peculiarity of this tree. And that is why Bhagwan is saying, the idea here is that Maya is inert. The seed is inert. If we take the example, the seed is inert. Unless that inert seed comes in contact with a conscious being, and that's the bird, it has to be eaten by the bird, by a live bird, and then it rejected, thrown out. Then it will. So inert seed is mixing with the conscious bird, and then it is capable of sprouting. Then it is becoming capable of sprouting. So the principle is, this is the example, the principle is that Maya by herself is inert. And she really cannot create on her own. But when she is in touch with pure consciousness, when Maya is invoked in pure consciousness, and that's who we call Ishvara, then she becomes capable of creation. And that is why Bhagwan is saying that among the trees, I am this people tree. Devarshi namcha naradaha. Devarshi, deva and rishi. So the devas, devas are the denizens of the heavens. But when the devas also, if they do tapas and they can try and recognize the deities, then they become rishis. Rishis are the realized beings. And among them, he says, I'm Narada. The meaning of the word Narada is Naram Dadati Iti Narada. I think the story of Narada has come before. Narada Bhagwan's story, he was a Dasi Putra in his previous birth. And then when he was 5 or 6 years old, his mother died. But he never felt sorrowful. He thought, oh, the reason that she has died is because I have more time to do seva to the rishis, which he did. And in the following birth, he comes as one of the greatest devotees of Lord Vishnu, Narada. And Naram Dadati means the one who gives knowledge, the one who gives liberation. And that is what we have seen in his life, is wherever he goes, he will he will make people into the devotees. So that was his job. And therefore, Bhagwan says that among the Devarshis, I am Narada. That doesn't mean that the other Devarshis is not, okay? But because giving one example, that's why he says, I'm Narada. Gandharvanam Chitrarata. Gandharvas are the entertainers of the heavens. You know, they are the musical choir. And Chitrarata is their leader, team leader, king, whatever that you can call, or the best among them. And Chitrarata was the one under whom Arjuna had taken training, had to take. See, Arjuna in his 12-year exile period had gone to Indraloka to learn the weaponry, art of weaponry. After he learned this full art of all the weapons, then Indra said to him, there is one more weapon that you need to learn. And he says, what is that? He says, you need to learn music and dance. And Arjuna gets really upset. He says that there is a war impending. What am I going to do with music and dance? I will come after the war and I will learn. No problem, but let the war finish. And that time Indra says to him that there is no point learning a science after the use is over. So even though Arjun was not happy with it, this Chitrarata was appointed to teach him song and dance, which he then realized that in that 1 year of exile, it came in very handy. And that's why Indra had said that you need that weapon before the war. There is no use after the war. And therefore, Bhagwan here says, I'm Chitrarata. Siddhanam Kapilomani. Siddhas are the ones that are, they are born realized. A Siddha Purush. See, Siddhi, there is a word, which Siddhis can be acquired. Siddhi is any kind of talent. Siddhi, like in the modern day, it is talent. You practice singing, you'll be a good singer. Dancing, you'll be a good dancer that way. Siddhis come when you in meditation. If you meditate on the different chakras, then different siddhis can come. For example, if you meditate on the throat chakra, the languages will come very easily to you. It's like that. Each chakra has its own power. So depending on what chakra you do. But in Vedantic meditation, we do not recommend that. Because what happens is when a person gets a siddhi, then he tends to get ego and he falls. Therefore, Vedantic meditation doesn't. But this, there are people who do chakra meditation. So they will focus on one chakra out of the eight and do it. So that is a siddhi too. But here this siddhana means, siddha means at birth only he was realized. Like Shukadev, when he was born only out of the mother's womb, he totally knew that this is all Maya, and he just started walking and he went away. So among this, Kapil Muni is the one who has given us the Sankhya philosophy. And the Sankhya philosophy, and this in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan has used that Sankhya philosophy up to a certain extent. Vedanta and Sankhya, they match. And in chapter 2, Bhagwan has called this Jnana Yoga as Sankhya Yoga, remember. So Kapil Muni is, he is the founder of this Sankhya philosophy. And that's why Bhagwan says that among the Siddhas, and Kapil Muni was, he was a born Siddha. So when he had no guru. those like Shukadev, what Guru will teach Shukadev, and already in from childhood, from birth only he's realized, so there is no need of a Guru. So that this is the same thing with Kapil Muni, and that's why Bhagwan says that I am among the Siddhas, Kapil, of the thinkers, I am Kapila. Then, Uchay Shravasam Ashwanam Vidhimamut Mamrutodbhavam Airavatam Gajendranam Naranam Chanaradhipam. Know me among horses as Uchay Shravas, born of Amrita, among lordly elephants, the Airavata, and among men, the king. So this Uchay Shravas is a horse. If you remember the story of the churning of the Milky Ocean, where the Devas and the Asuras, they wanted to, they realized that there is Amrit, nectar in that Milky Ocean. They wanted to churn and they wanted the nectar. But actually what happened was when they churned, then first came out poison. Then nobody wanted it, but you couldn't leave the, whatever came out, somebody had to accept it. So then poison, then Bhagwan Shivji came and said, okay, I will swallow. And then he swallowed. So that's how the story goes. So this horse has come out, then the horse came out. So then the Asuras were not interested in all these things. So then Indra took that horse. That is this Uchashravas. And Airavat is also elephant, which came out of that Milky Ocean churning. That also nobody wanted. The Asuras were not interested in anything else. So anyway, they didn't want to, nobody wanted. So Indra took that Airavat also. So Airavat is also Indra's elephant. And this Bhagwan is saying, I am that among the elephants. I am Airavat, and among the horses, I am Uchashravas. And among men, the king. So see, I told you last time also that a matchstick cannot be a glory of light. If you want some vibhuti of, you know, sun because, so something big. So among ordinary, because the kings are the leaders. They are the visionaries. They are the leaders. They lead the subjects. They control the subjects. So who among men, of course, the Lord is the king. That is what he says, that among men, whoever is the leader, I am that.
Ayudha namaham vajram, denu namasmi kamaduk, prajanaschasmi kandarpaha, sarpanamasmi vasukihi.
Among weapons, I am the thunderbolt. Among cows, I am kamaduk. I am kandarpa, the cause for offsprings. Among serpents, I am vasuki. So weapons are of two kinds. In Sanskrit, they are divided into astra and shastra. So astra is one which never... astra and shastra, one, it never leaves your hand, and the other one leaves your hand. So the one that doesn't leave your hand is like a sword. Okay. And the one that leaves your hand is like a spear. The one that does not leave your hand is shastra. And astra is one which is thrown. Okay. So there are two types of weapons. Now, Vajram, this story I told you, this is Indra's thunderbolt. This thunderbolt was made out of the bones of Dadichi. If you remember the story, there was this Vritrasura, who was the father of that priest of the heavens, whom Indra had killed. Vishwarupa was the priest who had many roles. So he was offering oblations to the gods, to the Asuras, to himself and all that. I had explained the subjective meaning, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Now Indra killed him. So his father did a yajna, got this Vritrasura who was supposed to kill Indra. And the only thing that could save Indra was that thunderbolt. So he went to the Dadichi and he said, okay, please give me your bones. So the Dadichi, from his own yoga maya, he killed him, means, you know, he created a fire, and then his bones were taken. And so therefore, because it's the most powerful weapon, this thunderbolt is considered as the most powerful weapon. And it is considered that if this thunderbolt strikes anybody, that person is not likely to live. And therefore, big, you know, something glorious. Bhagwan is, it's a vibhuti, it's a glory. You can't tell, oh, some little rock is my vibhuti. It doesn't become like that. And therefore, Bhagwan is saying that this thunderbolt, among the weapons, I am this thunderbolt. Dhenu is cow. So among cows, I'm Kamdhu. Kamdhuka and Kalpavraksha, these are from mythical literature. And Kamadhuka is the cow, Kama. Kama is desire. So she is the wish-fulfilling cow. And the idea here is that who can fulfill all our wishes is God. Ishwara alone can fulfill all our wishes. So he says, I am among the cows, I'm come. I'm the wish-fulfilling cow. Kalpavraksha is the wish-fulfilling tree. It is in the heavens, apparently. If you sit under it and you ask for anything, it will fulfill. That is the mythical literature. So Kamadhuka is, Bhagwan is saying, I'm Kamadhuka among the cows. Prajanas Chasmi Kandarpaha is another name of Kamadeva. I told you the story where the asuras were given a boon that nobody other than Shiva's son can kill them. When Bhagwan said, Sena among the generals, I am Skandaha. And Skanda is Kartikeya Bhagwan. So Shivaji was in meditation, and then the devas were desperate because these asuras were playing havoc because nobody could kill them. So they sent Kamadev, and I told you that time that Shivaji got mad. He opened his third eye and Kamadev was killed. And I told you, and the devas were not worried about that because in that little span of time where Shivaji had woken up, they had to catch Shivaji and make sure that he got married. But what happened was the one who cared was his wife. His wife Rati was there. And then she was bothered that her husband had died, right? So she goes to Shivaji and she says, you killed my husband, now you make him alive. So then Shivaji tells her that your husband will live as desire in the minds of all the people. So forever your husband will live. And that is why we have all these desires. Kama is desire and he's Kamadeva. Kandarpaha is the desire. They will live. But also he said, if you want to see him in form, he will take birth as Krishna's son in Dwapar Yuga. So in Dwapar Yuga, one of the sons of Krishna is this Kamadeva. He comes back and then Rati goes and visits him. And then again, that is another story. But here what happens is, what it means is that this Kamadeva is living with all of us as desire. All of us have some or the other desire. And when we have a desire for good things, for beautiful things, then it becomes Kandarpaha, and it is a manifestation of the Lord. The most beautiful thing in this world, in this universe, is the Lord alone. So there is a story of a disciple of Swami Ramtirtha. This disciple used to go to a prostitute every day. So one day the guru asked him, he says, what is it in that prostitute that makes you go to her every single day? And the disciple says, it's her beauty. Her beauty attracts me. I cannot resist it. So then the guru says, what if I show you something even more beautiful? Then will you stop going? He says, yes. There is nothing more beautiful than her. If you can show me, then of course I will stop. So he says, okay, next day you come for aarti in the temple. So when the disciple comes the next day, because of the guru's grace, he sees the form of Bhagwan, which is so beautiful that he forgets everything else. So Bhagwan's form is the most beautiful. And if we can visualize that, there is a story of Guru Nanak where a lady, a mother, she took her young daughter to meet Guru Nanak. And suddenly she realized that Guru Nanak Devji was only looking at the girl. So the mother felt very uncomfortable. Why is this guru looking at my daughter like that? So she asks him, he said, why are you looking at my daughter? He says, I'm not looking at your daughter, but I'm visualizing the Lord who has created this type of beauty. So through her, I am. So anything beautiful you see, you should immediately think it is the Lord that has given this beauty. Your thought. See, this whole vibhuti is how your mind goes to the Lord. That is the whole principle of this. So that's why he says, among that, I'm Kandarpaha. I am that desire to see beauty. What is our desire always is to see beauty. Nobody says, I want to see some ugly snake or ugly spider, right? I want to see something beautiful, beautiful sunset, beautiful mountains, nature or rainbow. We want to see something like that, right? So through that, when we see, then we must appreciate the Lord's hand in that. That is the whole idea. Sarpanam asmi Vasuki. Vasuki is the Sarpa who offered himself as a rope to churn the Meru mountain. So, because when they wanted to churn the Milky Ocean, first of all, you need that rod. So the Meru mountain agreed to become the rod. Then they needed the rope to go around it. You know, if you remember, in olden days, they would make buttermilk like that with the rope. So Vasuki became the rope. And then they started churning and that mountain started sinking into the ocean. So Bhagwan himself became a huge turtle and then supported that Meru mountain on his back. Excuse me. So that's why Bhagwan says, among the snakes, I am Vasuki. The next verse will talk about Nagas. The difference between a Sarpa and a Naga. Sarpa is serpent or snake. And Naga is, I don't know what the English word for Naga. But anyway, snake has only one head and Naga has many heads. Okay, so that they're both snakes. But I think Naga is more mythical.
Anantaschasmi Naganam Varuno Yadasamaham Pitrunam Pitrunam Aryama Chasmi Yamasai Sayabatamaham.
I'm Ananta among Nagas, I'm Varuna among water deities, I'm Aryama among Pitrus or ancestors, I'm Yama among controllers. Ananta among Nagas. Ananta Naga is the Shesha Naga on which Vishnu is resting. Bhagwan Vishnu is resting. And as you know, this Ananta Naga is Lakshman. In Ram Avatar, he's Lakshman. And in Krishna Avatar, he's Balram. Because in Ram Avatar, he at the end of it, Bhagwan said, what would you like for your next? He says, you know what? This birth, constantly, I was your younger brother. So you constantly ordered me around. Now, next birth, I want to be the big brother so I can order you around. So Bhagwan says, Tathastu. And therefore, Balram comes. He comes as Balram, as the older brother. That's why he used to get great pleasure in ordering Krishna around, because he was, you know, making up for all this Ramayan, all the orders that he had received. So anyway, he's Lakshman. So Bhagwan says, among the Nagas, and I told you, Nagas have got many heads. We know this serpent has got 1,000 heads. And on the Sheshnaga, the bed, Vishnu Bhagwan is resting. So he says, among the Nagas, I am that Ananta. Varuno Yada Samam. So among the water, Varuna is the Varuna Devata. It's the Devata deities of the, means he's the king of the water bodies. Okay, so there is. Pitrunam Aryama. Aryama is the ruler of the world of ancestors. So we have a Pitru Loka, if you remember, and the Pitrus live there. And the Pitrus are our ancestors. And when we do Shraddha Karma, that is where we are sending all the oblations via heat. So Aryama is the ruler of that loka. Every, you know, Indra is the ruler of heavens. Brahmaji is the, ruler of Brahma Loka. So like that, every Chitraratha is the ruler of the Gandharvas. So wherever there are these rulers, Bhagwan says, that is what I am, because they are leading. So Aryama is, Bhagwan says, I am Aryama. And I am Yama. Yama is the Lord of death. See, without death, nobody would have known what life is. We have to have the both opposites, the pair of opposites to know each side of it, right? Because they're two sides of the coin. And Yama also, at the final time, Pralaya, that is finally the death of everything, right? Pralaya means everything is going back into him. So he says, I am the controller, because that is how. Can you please excuse me? This is the second time my phone has rung. I need to see. Okay, sorry, it's okay. So that's why he's the regulator. Death is what keeps this world going, right? If there was only, people were just living, and there was no death, there wouldn't have been a balance. Therefore, he says that I'm Yama, I'm the regulator.
Pralladaschasmi daityanam kalakkalayatamaham mruganam cha mrugendroham Vainateyascha Pakshinam.
I am Prahlada among Daityas, Time among Reckoners, the Lord of Beasts, Lion among Beasts, and Vainateya Garuda among Birds. So Prahlada, we know the story of Prahlada. Prahlada was the son of Hiranyakashipu. So they are Daityas. Remember Raja Bali, I told you the story, Raja Bali, who is the grandson of Prahlada. So that is the same family, and they are the children of Diti. Kashyap Muni had two wives, Diti and Aditi. From Diti came the Daityas, and from Aditi came the Adityas. And there are 12 Adityas and this Daitya. So Hiranyakashipu was one who thought that he was God. He'd never recognized Vishnu Bhagwan. But Prahlad, what happened with Prahlad was, when he was in his mother's womb, Indra wanted to kill that fetus. So Narad Bhagwan takes that Hiranyakashipu's wife, Prahlad's mother, while she's pregnant, and keeps her in his ashram. And of course, for 9 months, he is only doing satsang with this lady. So, you know, we have heard the story of Abhimanyu. Even now, modern, they say when the woman is pregnant, play, you know, this because the fetus hears. So he was telling stories of Vishnu Bhagwan only. So when Prahlad was born only, he was a devotee, a great devotee of Bhagwan Vishnu. That is his story. And that is how, even though born of Hiranyakashipu, his father was a Daitya who never, he actually had built temples with his own idol there. And he said, you have to just pray to me. And then, of course, he had gone and gotten a boon that nobody can kill him, etc. Like human and animal and all that things he had done. So he thought nobody could touch him. That's what he thought, because there was that sort of a character is not possible. Half animal, half this, not in day, not in night, not outside, not inside, all these with no weapons and all that. So that sort of thing was unimaginable. He forgot Bhagwan's powers, but that he thought nobody. Anyway, so that's why Bhagwan says, among the Daityas, I am Prahlada. Among Adityas, he said, I am Vaman. So in both sides, he's there. That is the point to be noted, that not like Daityas are, you know, Asuras are bad, so I'm not there. Because like I've always told you, Arjun and Duryodhan, both of them had the pure consciousness. There's no way that anybody doesn't have. The upadhi is defective, but that doesn't mean the pure consciousness can this thing. So Daityanam. So he is Prahlada, and Kala Kalayatamaham. So I am time among reckoners, the Lord. See, time is an entity which cannot be recognized without the presence of the Supreme Consciousness. And the example, best example that I can give you, our own experience, is that there are times when we are taking a nap in the afternoon and we think, oh, only 5 minutes, I woke up and 1 hour has gone. That happens in the morning. You know, if you hit the snooze button and think, okay, just 5 minutes, I'll sleep. Next thing you wake up, 1 hour is gone. Okay, so we don't recognize time when we are, so time doesn't exist for us at that time. Sometimes we sleep for 2 hours and we think, I woke up in 5 minutes. Sometimes you sleep only for 5 minutes and you think, wow, maybe 1 hour has gone by in the middle of the night, you know, when you're counting. So he says that time is like, I am the support of time. That is what he's saying. I am not time. Time is because of me. Okay. This is what he means. Therefore, he says that I am time among the reckoners. Mrugana Mrugin, I am the king among the beasts. So I am lion. Again, the same idea, something big. The lion is always considered to be, the king of the jungle. And among the birds is Garuda. Garuda, as we know, is the vehicle of Vishnu Bhagwan. So he says, among the birds, I am Garuda.
Pavana Pavatamasmi. Rama Shastra Bhritamaham Jashanam Makarash Chasmi Strota Samasmi Janhavi.
Among purifiers, I am the wind. Among warriors, I am Rama. Among fishes, I am the shark. Among rivers, I am the Ganges. So Makara is, Gurudev is translated as a shark, but Makara also is crocodile. Anyway, among the purifiers, air. See, air, you know, when the wind blows, it takes away with it, even if there is a bad odor, even if there is a good odor. It like you know, when we walk in, especially in our ashram, in because it's closed the whole week, then Saturday when people walk in, first thing they do is leave the doors open for that fresh air to come. You know how we say, oh, leave the windows open, let fresh air come in. So that's why he says, among the purifiers, I am air, because that is the best purifier. And among the Shastra Bhratamam, those who are the wielders of Shastra, which is like bow and arrow or any kind of weapons, then I am Sri Rama. The reason that he's saying is, see, somewhere in Arjun's mind, there was some arrogance that I am the best warrior. He was, no doubt he was. But that's the whole point, that even though you're the best, you must not have that arrogance, which he had. So therefore, now Bhagwan is sort of pointing out to him that no, Sri Ram was there and he was a better archer than you. And I am Sri Ram. Of course, next verse it will come. Bhagwan will say, among the Pandavas, I am Dhananjaya, he says, but not among the archers. See, you know, there's the difference. This is Sri Ram. See, even Draupadi had this little bit of arrogance that, Arjun was, because he's, you know, if you remember the Swayamvar of Draupadi, there was a fish that was going round and round and round, and the archer had to look into the water, into the reflection, and then shoot the eye of the fish, not the fish eye. And Arjun had done that. So obviously there are so many other kings who couldn't end it. So it so happens that one of the wives of Shri Krishna, her name was Lakshmana. And so Draupadi was talking to her and she asked her, how did you guys get married? How did he come to marry you? So this Lakshman tells her that my father had done a Swayamvar, and that Swayamvar exactly the same like what Draupadi's father had done. So there was a fish that was going round and round and round. And then the archer had to look into the water below. And then from the reflection, and Krishna did that. Just to tell, don't think your husband is the only one. My husband is also there, right? So so that's why Bhagwan is now pointing out that I am Sri Ram. I am not, among the archers, I am not Arjun. Yes, among Pandavas, I will be Dhananjay, but among the archers. So just so that, you know, to this thing. Also see, in the war, Karna was shooting arrows at Arjuna's chariot. And Bhagwan at that point was praising Karna like anything. And Arjun felt a bit jealous. Like he said, Karna is the enemy and now why is he praising him and all that? Then afterwards, he asks Bhagwan that you are praising Karna so much, you know, what is the reason? Then Bhagwan tells him, think. Hanuman is sitting on top of your flag. You know, in the Arjuna's chariot, Hanumanji was sitting on the flag. Please know that. Bhagwan Krishna has called him. For the war, he calls Hanuman. He says, you better go sit on the top there. So actually, Bhagavad Gita also was heard by Sanjay, of course, and Arjuna. And through Sanjay, Dhritarashtra, but Hanuman also has heard Bhagavad Gita. And after that, he has also written a commentary. Hanumanji, there is a commentary by Hanumanji on Bhagavad Gita as well. Because he was sitting on the flag, so he also listened automatically. Anyway, so Bhagwan tells Arjun that in spite of the fact that Hanuman was one of the most powerful people, right, that time in Ramayana, he is sitting there, I am standing in your chariot, and yet Karna's arrows could shake your chariot. Means see how powerful his arrows are. Because if we were not there, finished, your chariot would have been gone. So that's why he says, I'm praising Karna. Okay? And also, I mean, Bhagwan was totally impartial. Very honestly speaking, we think that Bhagwan was on the side of the Pandavas, but he himself has said that no. He has told Arjun, "Don't think that I am on your side because I like you. I am on your side because you're on the side of Dharma, and I have to be on the side of Dharma. That's why I'm there. I have no hatred towards Duryodhan or anybody because they are all mine only, na? They're from me only. Anyway, so among the fishes, he's the crocodile." Okay, and Janavi, so he's the Ganges. I told you in this Vaman Avatar, when Raja Bali gives him the three steps, Vaman Bhagwan becomes very, very big. And one whole foot he covers the earth, and then one foot he covers the heavens. So when that foot reaches the heavens, all the devatas there, they go and they do Pada Puja right there. And then that water that flew became the Ganges. So that's why Bhagwan is saying that. Yeah, and therefore, we consider it very, very holy. We consider that if we take a bath in the Ganges, all our sins will be washed away. It shouldn't be taken literally. Ganges represents knowledge. And so what it actually means is that if we get the knowledge, we will get liberated and all our sins will be washed away. So Bhagwan says, among the rivers, I am the river Ganges.
Sarganamadirantascha madhyam chaivaham arjuna adhyatma vidya vidyanam vada pravadatamaham.
Among creations, I am the beginning, the middle, and also the end. O Arjuna, among sciences, I am the science of the self, and I am the logic in all arguments. So creations, I am the beginning, middle, and the end. This has come even before he says, I am the beginning, middle, and end. And I told you how he is the beginning, because he being the material cause of everything. If I touch a chain of gold, whether I touch it at the beginning of the chain or the middle of the chain or the end of the chain, I'm touching gold only, because gold is the material cause of the chain. Same way, Ishvara being the material cause of this entire universe, no matter what you touch or what you see or what you feel, it is Ishvara only. And that's why he's saying here that I am the beginning, middle, and end of all creation. Among sciences, I'm the Adhyatma Vidya, the science of the self, because this is the only knowledge knowing which you will come to know everything else. Because this is the knowledge of the subject itself. Any other knowledge cannot, one thing is any kind of material, if you know chemistry, doesn't mean you'll automatically know physics. If you know physics, doesn't mean you'll automatically know mathematics. So that is one aspect. The material sciences, that knowledge tends to bind us. It'll bind us. Whereas this knowledge of the self will release us. And that's why Bhagwan says, among all knowledges or among all sciences, I am that adhyatma. It's the science of the self. Because I am the self in all beings. So knowing that, that knowledge is what I am. You must know that knowledge. That's what he says. Vada. So there are these four kinds of discussions that can happen. One is called jalpa. Jalpa is where, you know, there are people who just argue for the sake of arguing. There are people like that. Okay. So no matter what you say, they will something or the other, they will, you know, say, they'll go on arguing. So that is jalpa. Next is vitanda. Vitanda is where one person is just trying to prove the other person wrong, period. Like there is no intention of getting to the truth, understanding the other person. No, you say this is west. No, then I'm going to say this is east. So apparently there was some arguments going on between two people. Finally, the second person got really, really, you know, tired and exhausted. And he said, you know what? Okay. Whatever you say, I agree. So the first person says, now I have changed my mind. So that is vitanda. Means no matter what, if you say this is east, it becomes west. If you say, okay, it's west. No. Now it is east. That is vitanda. Vada is when it is happening between two equals and there is a sincere effort to get to the truth. That is vada. Vada is what happened between Bhagwan Shankaracharya and Mandan Mishra, who was a Karmakandin. So they were both equals in the sense Mandan Mishra was a great disciple of Prabhakaral Bhatta, who was the, you know, he did the exposition on the Karma Kanda portion. So he was also great in his field. Shankaracharya was also great in his field, Vedanta. And what they had then was a vada or a discussion. It's a discussion between equals. They're both equal and they both sincerely want to get to the truth. So when one person says, he says, okay, but this is how I think. This is how I think. And that's why Bhagwan says that I am that. Among these discussions, the fourth one is samvada. Samvada is what is happening in the Bhagavad Gita. Samvada, samyakvada, it is between a disciple and a guru. So one person is lower than the other person. They are not, Vada, both are equal. So it's both teachers may be talking or both students may be talking. They are equal. But in Samvada, it is student and teacher. So they are not equal. Teacher and student can never be equal, no matter what field it is. So that's why this, at the end, the Pushpika says Samvade. It's a Samvad. So among these four, Bhagavan says, I'm Vada. Okay? That's what Vada is.
Aksharanamakarosmi dvandasamasikasya cha ahamevakshayakalaha dhataham vishvatomukaha.
Among letters, I am the letter A. Among all compounds, I am the dual coordinates. I am verily the inexhaustible or the everlasting time. I am the all-face dispenser of fruits of actions, having faces in all directions. So this among the akshara, among the alphabets, akshara is alphabet. Also note the point that alphabets are called akshara in Sanskrit. Akshara means those which never perish. So alphabets, he says, now to understand this Sanskrit alphabets, they're called halanta. Halanta means that which shakes. And the reason they're called halanta, because all the consonants are half. They're half. You know how you know half? When there is that little line underneath it. You know, her, then there'll be a line underneath. Or the word tat. Tat. You know, so the ta is full, the first one, and the next ta is half. So they are halanta. So they are, you know, it's like standing on one leg. The person will not be stable. So the alphabets are not stable. And when you add the a to it, they become stable. So a becomes the stabilizing factor in the alphabets. And therefore, Bhagwan says, among the alphabets, that is what I am. I am the one that stabilizes all these other consonants. Consonants. Okay. So that's why he says, I am the alphabet. So from only everything comes, you know, all that is coming from the base is And you add in Sanskrit, you have to add to make that alphabet full, complete. So that's what it is. Among the samas, you know, in Sanskrit grammar, there is what is known as sandhi, and then there is what is known as samas. So sandhi is where two words join and then one word will become half, like the word Indra. So E is full and then Na is half, and then that, so you know, so there is a sandhi between the two alphabets. In Sanskrit grammar, there can be sandhi between two alphabets like Indra, or there can be sandhi between two words. So words only join, and then that time also one of them will become half. Vidwan is one, that is sandhi of alphabets only. It's vid and then van, you know, the va becomes half. It'll come in the example is not coming to my mind of the sandhi between words, but there is that sandhi. So that is a different thing. And then samas is where two words come together. And in samas, there are different kinds. And one of them is called dvandva. In this dvandva, both words have equal weightage. So like Rama Krishna is a samas, because Ram is a word on its own. Krishna is a word on its own. When they are both joined, also a third word is made. Because there is a name Rama, there's a name Krishna, but Ram Krishna also is a name. Now in Ram Krishna, both have equal weightage. And that sort of a samas is called a dvandva samas. There are many other also, but this is dvandva. So Bhagwan says where the both words will have equal weightage, among the samas, then I am this dvandva samas. Ahamevakshaya kalaha. So I am the inexhaustible or everlasting time. He is time means he is the support of time. That is what needs to be understood. Like I said, unless we don't know. And also time means, you know, it has different connotations for different people. When we are very happy, then time we think has flown by very fast. But when we are in sorrow, then we feel like every minute is like an hour. Have you not felt? Or if you go for a really, really good performance or a really good movie, then you don't even know when it finished. Because, you know, you're so engrossed in that, you don't know. But if it is a boring performance or not a very good singer, then you're like, oh my God, when is this going to finish? When is this going to finish? Right? So could be happening with me too. You guys might thinking, when is she going to finish now? Anyway, I'll be finishing soon. So that's why he says, what he's saying here is that I am the supporter of time. And then I am the dispenser of the fruit. Faces in all directions means I know everything that is going on everywhere. That is what is meant by Vishvatomukha. Means my face, not like, you know, it's like a biological freak. No. And the thing is, technically, if you want to understand this, what does he mean by I know everything that is going on everywhere? How can he know that? Because he is within all of us. As the controller, as the antaryami, right? Because the material, I told you, material also is come from Ishvara. So that is one aspect. Second aspect is the vasanas also have come from Ishvara. So he is within us. So he knows what is going on with every jiva. And then he is the karma phala data. So that's what he's saying. I'm the dispenser of all actions. And we must not understand this dispenser of action as somebody sitting there and saying, oh, I like her, so I'll give her this, and I don't like him, so I won't give him that. No, the fruits of the actions are dispensed based on what we have done in our past life. Like when I go for an exam and I write a paper, like many people write the answers, then the marks are given based upon what is written in that paper. Not randomly, oh, I love, you know, out of likes and dislikes, but whatever, whoever, if they've written good, then they get good marks. If they've not written good, then they don't get good marks. So that way, the result of every action of ours depends on what I have done in the past. It could be my immediate past, but most of the time, it is also based on what I've done in my past lives. And that is an unknown factor with us. And that is why the result of karma is very, very unique. Very simple example is if all of us go and buy lottery tickets, is there a guarantee that all of us will win? See, we have done the same action. We can go to the same shop at the same time, see a good auspicious time and buy the ticket. Is there a guarantee that all of us will win? There is no guarantee. So we can do the same action. All of us can do the same. Like people are writing paper, right? One class, whole big room is there. Everybody is writing. The same question paper is given to everybody. People are writing answers. Why not everybody getting the same marks? Because what they have written is different. So what we have done in the past is different for all of us. That is an unknown factor. We can see what efforts we have put in this life. That is not a problem. We can, you know, some of us, we can say, oh, you know, I put more effort than you or you put more. That can be seen, but we don't know what. Therefore, what happens is sometimes people put in less effort, but they get the result anyways. Because you see, from the past, it is very strong. So that is helping them. So that even if they don't do so much work in this life, that thing from the past life is helping them. So therefore, when we say Ishvara is karma phala data, we must never think that it is out of his whims and fancies. The result of action is always based on what we have ourselves done this life, past life, many lives before. That is to be understood. So he says, so I'm all faces and all means I know everywhere, whatever is going on everywhere.
Mrutyu sarvaharashchaham udbhavashcha bhavishyatam kirti shrirvakcha narinam smritir medha dhritikshamaha.
And I am all devouring death. He has said before also that I am Yama. And the prosperity of those who are to be prosperous. Among the feminine qualities, I am fame, prosperity, speech, memory, intelligence, firmness, and forgiveness. So all devouring death, I told you, death is what regulates this earth. So one thing is to keep the earth in balance. And then final death, which is the pralaya for all of us. So he says that's why he's saying, I'm the all devouring death. That's why he also said, I'm Yama, the Lord of Death, and the prosperity of those who are to be prosperous. means what? Prosperity means means whatever is coming to us. So what this should be understood as that prosperity is, of course, when we hear the word prosperity, it is good. If I say I'm prospering, that means I'm doing well in my business or educate, wherever, you know. But it also includes bad things. Not everybody gets all good, na? Not everybody gets all bad also. Both good and bad are coming. Whatever is coming to us, if we can connect it to God, that is what he's saying. So among the if some people are getting prosperity, that is from him. If some people are not getting prosperity, that is from him also. There is a story of a very Maharashtrian saint, Gora Kumbhar. Kumbhar is a potter. He works with clay. So he was pounding the clay one day and then constantly thinking of Bhagwan because he's a devotee, a great devotee of the Lord. So he was constantly thinking. And then he was pounding. He didn't realize that his own child had come and mixed with the clay. And he went on pounding and killed his own child. So when he realized, finally, he said, okay, God gave him to me and now God has taken it away. And that is the kind of attitude it's difficult, but we need to develop. Then we can see whatever is happening in our life is a vibhuti of the Lord only. Because really nothing, Keno Upanishad we have studied, that even a blade of grass cannot move without his sanction. So if anything big is happening in our life, do you think his sanction will not be there? It has to be there. It cannot happen. Nothing can happen without his sanction. So whether it is a good thing or it is a bad thing, know that Bhagwan's hand is there. And I told you before also that when a bad thing happens, the reason is sorrow comes to us. It is for us to gain vairagya. This is what Arjun put in that situation so that Arjun would surrender to him. And Arjun did. And at the end, see what the result was, right? So same thing, we must have that surrender for the Lord. And that is why he's saying that I am, whatever comes to you is because of me. Because there is nobody else who is the giver. Among the, I'm fame, very simple to understand. Not infamous, but fame. So in a good way, prosperity, Shri prosperity. So money, wealth. Wealth can be money, but wealth can also be values. Wealth can also be beauty. Anything good, you know, it's wealth. Like health. Health is wealth, they say. Actually, health is more valuable than money. Some people don't realize that, but it is. So prosperity can be in, you may be very famous, name and fame you might have. You might have more money. You might have health. You might have beauty. Or you might become famous for something like that. Speech. So whatever is spoken is because of him. Because of the presence of consciousness only I can speak and you can hear. So it is coming from him. Idea is that if we get up, like, you know, if we can speak nicely, then it's because of Bhagwan. Memory. Medha. Medha is... Smriti is memory. Medha is the ability to remember. There is a Medha Suktam. So they recommend, at least in Sandipani when we were there, they would recommend to chant Medha Suktam to improve memory. The power of memory, the potential to have the memory is Medha. It's translated as intelligence over here, but Medha actually means that. Okay. Firmness, Dhriti. Dhriti is perseverance, from especially in this, see, even in the material field or even when a student is going to college and all that, they need perseverance. They need to persevere, right? Especially if you see the schedule for the medical students, it is so hard. Whole day they have to, so perseverance is required. Now, in the outside world, that much perseverance is required. In the spiritual field, it is required even more because the results are not tangible. And people think I've been studying for so long and nothing is happening and all that. And the reason that why people feel like that is, see, there is one thing about studying this knowledge, but the other thing is putting it into practice. Whatever we hear, we must put it into practice. And, you know, in the beginning stages, you can do it mechanically also. like I've always, the one thing that I tell everybody is that if you wake up in the morning and you're fine, you say, thank you, Lord, I'm fine. You know, I have woken up in the morning and I have had vertigo. So I'm like trying to get out of bed and I'm totally dizzy. You don't know what when will and what triggers it. I mean, of course, the medical reasons are there. But why someday it happens, I've not eaten anything different, done anything. It's the same day that I've had, but in the morning I've got vertigo. So if I get up without vertigo, I'm like, thank you, Lord, I don't have vertigo today. And at night, when your day has gone and everything has gone okay, then you say thank you. And in the beginning, it might feel very mechanical. But you know what? You come to really appreciate it when you see and hear things. Just last week, a friend of mine, her daughter-in-law's brother, is only 42 years old. He went to Starbucks to buy a coffee. He apparently fainted. This is a true story. This is not a story. This is true. Now, he has a fracture in the skull. The full left side is fractured, 42 years old. How? Nobody knows. Why he fainted, nobody knows. They still can't diagnose why he fainted. Okay, in a place like Starbucks, skull bones are the hardest, the strongest. To get that big a fracture from here to here on the left side, just from a fall in star, it's not like he was climbing mountains and he fell on a rock, and people fall on rocks and nothing happens to them. And this person fell in Starbucks. So he's now in ICU at VGH. Just a simple cup of coffee. You really don't know what will happen when. So if at the end of the day, nothing like this has happened, you know, you recognize it. That, oh Lord, thank you, Lord. And then as you hear things now, then you think, oh my God, then it will come sincerely, genuinely. So in the beginning, even if it is mechanical, just get into that habit. Anything happens, you know, even if there's no travel, like, oh, thank you, Lord, you know, the Alex Bridge. Otherwise, there's traffic when I have to drive to Surrey and then I'm caught in traffic or accident happens, right? It delays me. So if anything goes smoothly, you say, okay, thank you, Lord, I went smoothly. My journey went smoothly, right? So this is what all this is. Firmness means persevere. So when we persevere in this knowledge, then we will come to know how things, you know, happen, and we will be thankful. Persevere. And like I said, this knowledge, unless it is, you know, see, there is a cup of tea. There is no sugar added to it. So you add the sugar. Now you just put sugar in it. And if you start drinking that tea, it is not sweet. It needs to be churned. That sugar needs to be dissolved, right? So same way, this knowledge, one thing is listening to it. Of course, any intelligent being can understand it. But unless it is churned within us, it will not show its results. And the main result of this knowledge should be mind should be at peace, more and more peace. That is the main thing. Forgiveness is ability to forgive. We have talked about this kshama before also. Kshama releases us from stress. See, if I don't forgive something, you know, then I'm boiling in my mind, right? You did this, he did this, she did this, she did this. This shouldn't be this thing. But if I say, okay, it was there, it was my prarabdha that, you know, I was supposed to be hurt. So the person said something or did something and I forgive them. Then there will be peace. That's the whole aim of this knowledge, is to make the mind peaceful. Therefore, he says that in that I am forgiveness. So try and forgive. They say you should forgive yourself also for things that we also make mistakes, but others as well. Brahat Sam Tatha Sam Nam Gayatri Chanda Samaham Masa Nam Marga Shir Shoham Rutunam Kusumakaraha. Among hymns also, I am the Brahat Saman. Among meters, Gayatri am I. Among months, I am parts of December, January, Marga Shirsha. Among seasons, I am the flowery spring. So, Brahat Saman is a meter, is a hymn rather, from the Samaveda, which can be sung. Already he said that among the Vedas, I am Samaveda. before he has said that, right? Why? Because it is Giti Pradhan. We sing when we are happy. So it's a happy, you know, the bliss. It represents the bliss aspect of that Satchit Ananda. So here he says that I am that Brahat Sound. It is a way of singing. It is a, you know, chant from the Samaveda. And among the meters, I am Gayatri. It is not the Gayatri mantra that he's talking about, but the meter, Gayatri meter. Because there are Trishtup, Anushtup, Gayatri. There are about 8 meters. Among meter is the tune. The Bhagavad Gita has two. One is Trishtup and Anushtup. Right? When we say in 4 quarters and when we say in 8 quarters. So Gayatri mantra is sung in the Gayatri meter. So, but he's not saying Gayatri mantra. Bhagavan is saying, I am the meter. Among the meters, I am Gayatri. And among the months, I am Margashirsh. Margashirsh comes in December, January. Cooler months, but of course, that is not like the whole criteria. If you go to Australia, it will be hot. But generally in India, those months are good. He says, I'm that. And among the seasons, I am spring, because spring, you know, there is regeneration in spring. Now we are seeing fall. All the trees, we see only twig, twig, twigs. But as soon as March comes, we will see all the little nodes and the buds. And it makes us feel pleasant, right? We like to see that. We don't like to see like a whole like bare tree where all the leaves, my God, whole leaves. Bangkok is covered with all leaves. So we don't like to see like that. But when spring comes, it will be even very, very pleasing to our eyes. Therefore, he says, among the seasons, I am the spring season. Dyutam chalayatam asmi tejas tejasvinamaham jayosmi vyavasayosmi satvam satvavatamaham. I am the gambling of the fraudulent. I am the splendor of the splendid. I am victory. I am determination of those who are determined. I am the goodness of the good. This idea had also come in chapter 7, where he says, among the strong, I am the strength in the strong. If you remember, he had said, the balam, balam balavatam asmi aham. So same idea. Anyway, the first thing is gambling of the fraudulent. This gambling, dyutam chalayatam asmi. So what he's saying is that I am the gambling, means what gambling he's referring to here is, you know, the big gambling match that happened between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So he's saying that he is the dice in there. And it is said that Shakuni apparently was the most beloved of Bhagavan Krishna. Now, as the story goes, apparently there was somebody with a magical mirror. And when you looked in the mirror, you didn't see your own face, but you saw the face of your beloved. It was a magical mirror. So everybody thought that they are the favorite of Bhagavan Krishna. So they wanted to hold the mirror in front of Bhagavan's face so that in that mirror, they will see their own face. Means I am the most close to Bhagavan. But when they held the mirror in front of Bhagavan, they saw Shakuni's face. And they thought, what is going on now? Shakuni is his favorite. So it is said that, see, Bhagwan's avatar was for what? What was the main purpose? Chapter 4, Bhagwan said, the reason that I'm to establish dharma, right? He says that to establish dharma and then also to protect all the sadhus, the good people, and to destroy all the evil people. And if you see Bhagavan's life, right from beginning, starting with Putana and Shaktasur and Kausa and Shishupala and God knows how many demons he killed and killed and killed. But the point here was that the Kauravas was a big number, like how whole life, one, if he keeps killing, he had to do some sort of a mass killing. Because there were so much, 100 sons and then all their followers, like, the Kaurava army was way greater than the Pandava army. So there were a lot of followers of Duryodhan also, evil people, right? Kaunsa had Chanur and Kaunsa also had his own business. So for that, he had to create a war. Because to do a mass killing, you need a big war. How to create that war? Shakuni was his pawn. In this big game of dice that Bhagwan was playing, it's his Leela, Shakuni was his ace. Because of Shakuni only, Duryodhan was getting spoiled. And Bhagwan wanted that. Bhagwan wanted the game of dice. Bhagwan wanted it to happen like that because Bhagwan wanted the war. And the reason he wanted the war was because otherwise the purpose of his birth would have been not fulfilled. And that is why he says, I am that dice because I did that. Who is giving us buddhi? Bhagwan only, no? So he only gives Shakuni buddhi that, oh, Duryodhan, you know, injustice is done to him. He should be the king. All these things, they're coming. See, even in Ramayana, there is a thing. Both Ravana and Vibhishana and Kumbhakarna, all three brothers did a lot of tapas. Okay. And of course, Bhagwan knows Vibhishan asked for complete devotion to Sri Rama's feet and darshan. Ravana, he asked that he should become all powerful and he captured all the deities and all. Now, Kumbhakarna in his mind, he wanted Indra's post. That is what he was doing tapas. So what happened was Indra found out. Indra always is a scared personality. So he got scared that if he does tapas and Bhagwan is pleased with him and he says, I want Indra's post, that means he will get it. So he got scared. So he went to Saraswati Devi and he said, please, please, when he's speaking, you go sit on his tongue and you make that Indra into Nidra. Indra and Nidra, you know. So she goes and sits and when the word comes out, he wanted Indra, it came out Nidra. And therefore he was sleeping for 6 months, 8 months, and he had to be woken. So idea is that whatever we speak also is coming from Bhagwan only. So whatever thoughts that Shakuni had and whatever Shakuni did was ultimately in Bhagwan's realm. And that's why he says that I am the dice in that this thing. Among the brilliant splendor, I am the splendid. Just same like strength, I am the strength, right? I am victory, I am determination. So these are all the positive values. If we have them, if we can cultivate them, then we will be closer to the reality. They will help us get the reality, attain the reality. Okay? So that is why he says, this is what I am. He's the effort. Vrishni naam vasudevosmi pandava naam dhananjayaha muni naam appaham vyasaha kavinamushana kavihi. Among the Vrishnis, I am Vasudeva. Among the Pandavas, I am Dhananjaya. Also among the Munis, I am Vyasa. And among the poets, I am Ushana, the great seer. Vrishni, as you know, Vrishni clan is the clan in which Bhagwan was born. And Vasudeva was his father. Vasudeva, the word Vasudeva means Shuddha Sattva Antakarana. A mind which is highly, highly purified. That is what Vasudeva is. So when your mind becomes highly purified, Bhagwan takes birth. And that's why Bhagwan took birth in the family of Vasudeva and Devaki. They were his parents. So the subjective meaning of it is, when we become Vasudeva, then Bhagwan will come as our child, as our in our bosom. Means what? Means rajas and tamas to be reduced. Sattva to be increased. Because Vasudeva means Shuddha Sattva Antakarana mind, which is predominantly sattvic. Then Bhagwan will take birth in that mind. Among the Pandavas, he says, I'm Dhananjaya. One name of Arjun was Dhananjaya, means the one who brought, it is said that Arjun was the one who had brought the greatest wealth generally Arjun and Bhim were the ones that were sent out for war. Yudhishthir being the king, he stayed. And the other two brothers were young, so they were Madri's children. So Kunti always protected them. They were never, you know, they were right, they were young brothers, so they were never put in danger. So basically, Arjun and Bhim were going. Arjun was bringing in the most wealth. Therefore, his name is Dhananjay. But Arjun was very fortunate that he had Bhagwan as his charioteer. And now he has asked for the knowledge also. So not only that he has the wealth of money, but now he has the spiritual knowledge as well. So with this Dhananjay, when you add Sa Dhananjay, then it becomes wealth of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And therefore, Bhagwan says that I am Arjuna. I am Dhananjay in among the Pandavas. I told you among Pandavas is Dhananjay, but among the archers is Sri Ram. Also among the Munis, I'm Vyasa, Bhagwan Ved Vyasa, what to talk of him. He's the one that wrote, compiled all the Vedas, wrote the 18 Puranas, wrote the Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita. He is the one that gave this thing. So obviously, Bhagwan is saying, I am. Muni is Mananshila Muni. Mananshila means those who have very, very contemplative people. Those who have contemplated upon the reality. Those people are called as Munis. And that's why this Kapila Muni also, that word was there as well. Ushana, the great... See, Kavi here doesn't mean poet. Kavi means Kranta Darshanaha. Kranta Darshana means those who can see beyond time. We see the future. The way that you can see the future is if you rise above time. Means you rise above, then you can see both sides. Na? If you, but you're within time. That's why we know the past, what happened, but we can never see the future because we are in the realm of time. But if you rise above time, then you can see what happened in the past. You can see what is happening in the present and in the future. Such people are called Kavi or Kranta Darshinaha. And Ushana is the name, another name for Shukracharya. And if you remember Shukracharya, he was the priest of Raja Bali. And when Raja Bali, when Vaman Bhagwan asked for the three boons, like the three steps as a boon, Shukracharya is the one that warned the king, do not do this. And that's why he's the Kranta Darshana, because he knew that this is not an ordinary child. Okay, that's why Bhagwan says that I'm Ushana. Ushana is this Shukracharya. Shukracharya is the priest of the daityas of Raja Bali. Okay. Dando damayatam asmi, nitirasmi jigishatam, maunam chaivasmi guhyanam, jnanam jnanavatamaham. Among punishers, I am the scepter. Among those who seek victory, I am statesmanship. And also among secrets, I am silence, and I am the knowledge among knowers. Among punishers, I am the scepter. You know who holds the scepter is the king. And why is he the punisher? Because he's the judge. In when the king, you know, if there is a monarchy, real monarchy, not like the one in England where the queen has no powers, but that time the kings had the powers, right? They were the ones that would pass judgment. And so when he says, I'm the scepter, means one who is holding the scepter and one who has the power. So that power I am. The power that that king has, that is from me. That is me. Among those who seek victory, I'm statesmanship. So again, you know, he's the statesmanship, what would you, bravery, valor, or intelligence, you know, victory. Victory can be in any field. But in no matter what field, then that field, you have to be pretty intelligent and persevering. And that is what he says. That is what I am. Among the victorious, I am the victory. And among the secrets, I'm silence. When you keep silence, then all secrets can be maintained. Secrets get divulged because of talk. And the basis of talk, the substratum of speech is silence. Because only in the background of silence can you hear anybody speak. And only in the background of silence can you talk. Right? The substratum. So he says, I'm the substratum and I'm the knowledge among the knowers. So the knowledge... That same idea is, I'm the strength among the strong. I am the, you know, that's the same idea. It's a subtle, this thing. So the knowledge which is coming means what? If you find, if you see somebody who has knowledge, good knowledge, of course, there can be, you know, even bad knowledge, where is it coming from? The idea is we need to think where it is coming from. And that's what he's trying to say here. Now he's summarizing. Yachapi sarva bhutanam bijam tadaham arjuda natadasti vinayatsyan maya bhutam characharam. And whatsoever is the seed of all beings, that also am I, O Arjuna. There is no being, whether moving or unmoving, that can exist without me. So he's summarizing. He's saying, okay, I've told you so many, you know, individual things, but please understand that whatever is coming from whatever the cause is of any being. What is generally a seed? Seed is the one that sprouts and gives rise. It's the cause and it gives rise to the effect. Here we must not take Bhagwan to be the actual physical seed, but the potentiality in that seed to sprout. Every seed within itself has the potential to sprout. So when you give it the correct soil and the light and the water, it'll sprout. So that potentiality remains. The seed can get destroyed, but the potentiality never gets destroyed. The potential in that seed will remain. Potential remains, not that particular seed, but that potential will remain in other seeds as well, right? So that is what he says. So basically the cause of everything, that is me. So we have objects, situations, persons, right? Who, whatever you take, if you go to the cause, you must find Bhagwan. And then there is no being whether moving, chara, achara. Chara moving, achara not moving, means inert. The reason that he says that cannot exist, he's talking of the existence principle, which I have spoken to you before. See, I say this computer is here, is existing. I say I am here, so there is the amness and the isness, but then I'm also saying there is nothing between me and the computer and the screen. So there is nothing. So whether it is the presence of something or the absence of something, it is supported by this existence principle. And that's why he says that there can be nothing without me. Me means here the principle of existence. Okay, he's not talking as Krishna, the form. He's talking as the existence principle. So everything in this world, therefore, is experienced by us as existing. I am, you are, computer is, telephone is, book is, phone is, anything. We don't say computer is not, I am not. We don't say like that. We just say is. And that isness is what is the existence principle. And that isness can never be destroyed. If you take the example of a tree, we say this is a tree. And then we cut it into branches. Then we say these are the branches. So the is has become are. And then we burn the branches. We say this is ash. So from tree to branch to ash, that has changed. But the isness has not changed. And then we throw the ash into the water. We say there is water. So that isness or amness or are remains. So that existence principle remains. And that's what he's saying. There is nothing that can exist without this principle of existence. That is why our experience is. It is never is not. We don't experience like that. There is nothing in this room. There is nobody in that room. So the isness is always there. So presence and absence, both supported by the existence principle.
Nantosti mama divyanam vibhutinam parantapa eshattu deshata proktaha vibhuter vistaromaya.
There is no end to my divine glories, O Parantapa, but this is but a brief statement by me of the particulars of my divine glories. So he's concluding. He says, you know, there can never be an end, right? Because he already said beginning, middle, and end, I am only there. So he could go on. That's why in the beginning only he asked him in detail. Arjuna asked him, tell me in detail. He said, no, I will tell you in summary, in sankshipta, in the main features, I will tell you. So that's what he says. But there is no end. Like we could go on till the cows come home, like they say here, you know. So there is no end. So this is just in brief, a trailer I have given you, preview, you know, like we see movie trailers like that. I've given you a trailer. Now you understand. From that trailer, you understand. You know, like we go for a blood test. From one test tube of blood, you understand the whole blood now. This, it's got sugar, it has not got sugar, this, whatever, the whole system. Like we drink one drop of ocean water, it is salty. Now the whole ocean, you understand what it is, like that. I've given you little, now you understand everything else you can understand. That's what he's saying.
Yad vibhuti mastatvam shrimadurjitam eva va tattad devavagachatvam mama tejosha sambhavam whatever that is glorious, prosperous, or powerful in any being, that know you to be a manifestation of a part of my splendor. So when we see any intelligence we see, beauty we see, anything good we see, valor we see, forgiveness, good qualities, forgiveness, dhriti, perseverance, compassion, kindness, everything that you see, he says, it's just a fraction of a manifestation of mind. Like in Purusha Sukta also, in that also, he says that this entire universe is covered by me and I extend four fingers. Like I'm beyond that, right? So even the bliss, they say that, Taittiriya Upanishad says that the bliss that you experience from any object in this world or any experience in this world is only a wee bit. It's only a fraction of the bliss that the Supreme Reality can give. It's only a fraction because it is so vast. Taittiriya Upanishad does Anand Mimamsa. So they say that if a person owns the entire earth and then he's very handsome, he's very young, he's got everything and all that, then that is one unit of happiness. Then in the heavens, it is like 100 times that. And you go up and up and up. And then this the bliss of Brahman, which is the Supreme Reality, they go up, up, up like that, with whatever thousands of this thing. And then they say that is like way beyond, like in millions or trillions, the unit. Like that much difference is there between the happiness. So that's why he's saying here that whatever you see, and we must also understand that whatever bad we see also, it is because of him only, but he has got nothing to do with it, like consciousness as per. So anything good is coming from him. Understand it. Means what? Means whole thing is me only, nothing. Then he says, Athava bahunaitena kim nyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyahamidam krishnam ekangshena stito jagata. But of what avail to thee is the knowledge of all these details, O Arjuna? What are you going to do? Like are you, what are you going to do with the details, right? I exist supporting this whole world by one part of myself. That is Purusha Sukta. Says like every little detail, why do you want to know? Just understand. That's why he said even in the beginning, he said, understand that I am the beginning, middle and end of everything. Just see, if we have faith, this is, this portion is now going into devotion. When you have devotion with somebody, when you have love for somebody, you have complete faith that that person will, do whatever that is good for you. Or so if you have faith in the Lord's words, then you need not, only a devotee can have that faith. See, the one who is going after Jnana Marga, knowledge, this much faith is not there. He will want proof. That's why we also give you technical, that see this, if you look at it from bhakti point of view, I need not tell you that how is he in everything. That is for the intellectuals who think, how is he in everything? Then we say, he's the material cause. Just like if you touch the chain at the beginning, middle, and you will touch gold, because it is the material cause of that chain, same way he's the material cause of the world. So no matter which part of the world you touch or you inquire into or you look at, it is Ishwara only. But a person who is devoted, see, a devotee, if he's a, what did Hanuman see everywhere? Shri Ram. Tulsidas ji, he says, everywhere I look, I see Shri Ram only. So I salute to everybody, because if I look at whatever I see Ram, that is devotion. Sita ji gave him a pearl necklace, Hanuman ji. He started biting into every pearl and he broke every pearl. Then Sita ji said, why you broke all the pearls? He said, no, I was looking for Shri Ram. There is no Ram inside that pearl. Why do I want the pearl necklace? He said. This is from Ramayana. Now, why do I want that? There's Shri Ram is not inside. He was looking for Shri Ram inside. He bit into, he's a monkey. He bit into all the pearls. He says, no, I don't want this. I'm not interested. So that is the view of the devotee. So that's why Bhagavan says, Why? Because now we're going to 11 and then we'll go into 12. 12 is Bhakti Yoga complete. He's leading his way. He's leading Arjun into that, right? That's why he's saying here, you know, why you want to know all these details? This is for the picky ones, nitpick, you know, the intellectuals will nitpick. How, this is for them. Then why do you want to know? Just know, no, I'm there. If you have faith, that's the beauty of devotion. You know, you have faith, you just say, Bhagwan, I know you're there. I don't need to know Himalaya and this and that. And everything that is yours. So he says, understand that I support this entire world just by part of me. So I am much, much greater. This is Purusha Sukta also saying the same thing. That I am much, much, much greater than this thing. And with that, we conclude. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Vibhuti Yogo Nama Dashamodhyayah. To maintain our tradition, Chinmay Mission tradition, I'm going to chant the first verse. And then if anybody has any questions, perfect. 1.5 hours. I knew that. So we've completed on time. I'm very happy. I'm very happy that we completed this before I leave. Next Monday, I'm leaving. So let's chant the first verse. Atha dashamodhyayah Shri Bhagavan uvacha Bhuya eva mahabaho Shunume paramam vachah Yatte ham priyamanaya Vakshami hita kamyaya. So are there any questions? Have a very, very happy holiday season. And I'm starting Vancouver classes January 4th. So January 6th would be the Monday, but you decide you want to start on January 6th, let me know. I've been told that we are going to go for 10, 11 and 12, one after the other chapters. So obviously the next chapter that we will start in January would be chapter 11. Once again, my thank you to you for, just for this much, we would have to cut it off. So thank you for coming on this long weekend. And I'll see you all in the new year then. Yes, Abhimanyu, you have not unmuted yourself.
Enjoy your trip and be safe.
Yes, thank you very much.
And thank you.
Okay, so good night all. And once again, a big thank you. And I shall see you in January. Let me know if I can start on January 6th, but if I don't know if you guys want to start the